into the planet's natural terrain. The elements ruled the October night. Sand, sea, stone, and sky. The loneliness in which God resides. Thousands of stars, suppressed by the brash promenade street lamps, reappear. The dolphin and the water carrier hover to my right, over the sea. Polaris, low on my left, marks Route 90, the northward path of the two-week trip that I began 4 days ago. The beach is sandy and largely deserted, except for a couple of cars and a clapboard shack, which emits some light and the lilt of songs with Hebrew lyrics and Arab melodies. I stand at the landfall of a great rift valley, a crack in the Earth's crust that begins where the Indian Ocean's waters mix with those of the Gulf of Aden. It heads west by northwest, turns more sharply to the northwest, and, at the Strait of Tiran, where the Sinai Peninsula comes to a point, it takes another turn and heads nearly due north before ending in the mountains of Anatolia. This rift is one of the globe's largest features, clearly visible from space, and I live on its edge. It forms an intricate landscape that makes the human soul turn end over end in wonder, even in people who are sure they have no organ by that name. One would have to be an automaton not to stand in awe of the God who designed it. Or so I felt when I first viewed the rift 3 decades ago. In fact, we needn't call upon God to explain either the lay of the landscape or its origin. The rift is a geological fact, the product of enormous forces operating inside the globe. And it would exist even if there were no humans to observe it. Yet humans have been a part of it nearly since there were humans. The section I will travel from the Red Sea north to the mountains of Syria served as a corridor through which prehistoric humankind passed on its way out of Africa to colonize Asia and Europe. From that time on, they have left their mark on the valley, and it has marked their minds. Now, even in satellite photographs, the rift cannot be seen pristinely. The light and heat emitted by Eilat and its Jordanian sister city, Aqaba, by Jerusalem, and by Tiberias on the shore of Lake Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, stain the landscape as seen from outer space. Tiny Karun Lake in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley has a ruler straight southern bank that nature could not have fashioned. It marks a dam and shows that the lake, which I rode past time and again when I served as an occupying soldier in Lebanon in the early 1980s, is man-made. Here on Earth, with my own eyes, I can see the valley only from its edge or within, like a worker ant who climbs a blade of grass to get a better view of the hollow in which she will spend her brief life. I must use my mind as a ladder in an attempt to grasp this great geological object. But even this is no simple matter, for humankind has overlaid the geology not just with cities, dams, fields, and roads, but also with history and biography and meanings. I have lived, traveled, and soldiered up and down the Israeli side of the Rift Valley in the 27 years since this country became my home. For many of my fellow citizens, the greater part of the valley is a border that seems natural, but the location and nature of that border have been challenged by peace efforts and the winds of war alike. Israel's government is, at the time of my trip, seeking to redraw the country's boundaries in the Gaza Strip. Israelis who live in the Jordan Valley fear that a revision of the border, along which they live, is not long to follow. October of the year 2004 is thus an opportune time for me to travel my part of the rift and to see it as it is, but also as it signifies. Along my way, I will meet geologists, biologists, and archaeologists who study the physical facts of the Rift Valley. I will speak to people who live and work in the valley and for whom it represents the fulfillment or disappointment of an ideal. And I will encounter others who see the rift through the funhouse mirror of myth, in which stories skip over the landscape and where human beings themselves are mysteries. I walk across the sand and around the shack, where a brown picnic